Hi guys, welcome to another episode of TNM Bull. It's your host today, Jay, with also now my new co-host, Mr. Dan. How are you, Dan?
Not so bad, mate. I've been a bit rough. I've had COVID, the full works, but now we're back on it. Not too bad, mate. How about you? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not bad. You're about the 15th Dan we've got on. So this is Murder Man Dan, by the way, guys. So yeah, did you say you've just had COVID, sorry?
Yeah, just getting over it now, mate. It's been great fun.
How was it anyway? Was it like, what was your symptoms essentially?
Honestly, very much just flu, mate. Just flu, tiredness, mate. Just extreme tiredness. And now I was just getting over it, and I ended up with a bit of a chest infection as well. So it's just one of those things, mate. But yeah, flu-y. That's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah. Have you had your jabs?
Yeah, I had jabs.
That's probably helped you.
Oh, I'd say so, mate. Definitely. 100%.
So, Dan, Murder Man Dan, would you like to tell the current listeners what we've got lined up for today's show?
Yeah, mate. So, we thought, obviously, this is sort of our, current affairs podcast. We still haven't got a name for it yet, actually, mate, have we? We need to sort that out.
But yeah, I was just about to say.
We haven't named it. But yeah, it's basically your current affairs, what's going on in the world at the minute, whatever's sort of interesting or that affects everyday life, that sort of thing. And today, I think it's certainly apt to be talking about what is going on in Eastern Europe at the moment, i.e., I presume they're sort of calling it the Russian crisis, perhaps, or whatever it's been. Yeah, basically, just we want to talk about Russia and what's going on over in Eastern Europe at this moment in time, and a bit of background as to why it may be happening and what's happened in the past, because it, well, as you know, Jay, history repeats itself, and
well, yeah. We will never learn as a race, will we?
We're not doing very well at it anyway, are we?
No, we're not. No, it's a human race. We're horrible to each other, the planet, the environment. Tell you something, if you ever watch the David Attenborough documentary, all he does is smash down on how terrible we are as humans. Every single segment, you'll go, the rainforest, yeah, it's a beautiful place. And then 90% of it's gone because you knobheads have killed us all.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Yep. You're fucking it up, everybody. Yeah, on that note, we should probably do a explicit content.
Go on, I'll let you take the reins for this one if you want. Go on, do our split.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, guys, just on that note, there's probably going to be some strong language from the onset and throughout in this. So anyone who isn't over the age of 18, I think suggest that you probably turn off now. And everyone else, just a warning that it definitely will be explicit language, because I can't talk more than six sentences without saying the F word.
Exactly. It's not too bad, though. I mean,
no, it won't be anything. Yeah. It won't be anything too bad. But it happens.
S and Jess everywhere. It does. It slips out. And I'd rather not get banned from YouTube. But, you know, it's one of them things. Just so people know, by the way, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. I think we're up to 140 now. If you are listening on Anchor, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, we're literally everywhere now. Anywhere you can download a podcast.
Even Spotify, actually. Go. I've noticed we're on there.
Yep, Spotify. There we go. We're literally everywhere. So I think I'll be changing the podcast title because it's currently up as Wrestling, I believe. I need to change it to Current Affairs. So I did a wrestler. I had times with Richard for quite a while, but we'll get there eventually. So anyway, Current Affairs currently in the UK, the news this week, as Murder Man Dan just stated, there is an escalating crisis in Eastern Europe. Also, we are getting, on the back of that, inflation has soared ridiculously with gas prices, food, etc. Boris is, still in the doghouse in regards to the party. Well, social gathering. And, I mean, we won't even go into that. And then also, the last thing is currently, Joe Rogan is currently really, really, really getting some backlash regarding his, they've stated, misinformation regarding COVID, telling people not to essentially have their jabs, etc. So, yeah. You know, there's quite a lot to take in this week. Me and Dan will try our best, obviously, cover the best. So we'll do it quickly. A couple of, obviously, topics. First one being, let's start off quickly with Joe Rogan. And when I say that, Dan, have you heard what happened?
Yeah. I mean, I quite like Joe Rogan as well. So it was a bit of a shock, if nothing else. But anything that's COVID related is going to be, obviously, you know, how things are now. It's going to be strictly, I don't want to say the word police, but yeah, anything about COVID is, you know, when it comes to information, it's got to be, yeah, you know what I'm trying to get at. It's got to be spot on.
Yeah, well, of course. The thing is as well, look, I understand people are staying to it. You know, it is free speech and everything, but this is the thing. Whilst I would normally agree and say you can say what he wants, that guy's got such a massive platform.
He's a massive influencer, isn't he?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, he's a huge influencer. However, since he's moved over to that, but this is the thing I don't agree with, right? And this isn't aimed just at Joe Rogan. This is true Geordie as well. I can't stand people who get their following on a, let's say, YouTube, for argument's sake. So he's got all his following, Joe Rogan, mainly from YouTube. And then what they do is, once they get a massive following, they then sell themselves to a third party like Spotify or Twitch, get a ton of things, and then wonder why all their viewership numbers are going down. You know, yeah, they'll release a couple of clips on YouTube, but the reasons you've got your fans and everything due to, you know, that kind of platform for that free to view, and you're just asking your fans to obviously pick up that slack and, you know, pay for a different platform. I just don't agree with it, Dan.
No, I understand that, because at the end of the day, you know, obviously with YouTube being an essentially sort of like free platform for people to watch things on, those fans are still the ones who have got you to where you are now. And it sort of, it feels a bit like, I don't know, a bit disloyal, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's not just doing it for that. You know, you're not just doing it for the company of YouTube, you're doing it for your fans. You
no, actually, that's what I mean. You're kind of turning your back on them because you want more money, and it's kind of, well, you've got, they've made you the money that you've already got. Yeah, it just, I get it. It doesn't really sit too well, does it? Yeah.
No. We are going to slam through these, by the way, because our main subject today and topic will be Russia. So do you think he has got a point in regard to free speech? Or do you think he should literally be police?
So I do think he has a point on that note, on freedom. But I mean, I'm exactly the same as you, mate. I think the freedom of speech is definitely an argument on his side, right? But at the same time, I think it's more of a responsibility that someone like Joe Rogan, because of his mass following, he has that responsibility that what he is going to tell these people is going to stick. And I think with something as influential as whether you have a jab or not, I just think it's a bit irresponsible. That's my feeling on it. Did he deserve the massive backlash he's had? Maybe not, but I do see the point that it's very irresponsible to be talking about that sort of thing and giving a very one-sided opinion to millions upon millions of people who you know, subscribe to that, you know, that his channel or whatever. So I think I'm very much the same as you on that, to be honest.
It's per person. You know, I haven't been fond of him since he's left, you know, the YouTube platform, so I just refuse to pay. You know,
I wouldn't either, actually, personally, at all. No.
So second one, essentially, is we kind of got the Sue Gray report with Boris. So if you listen to our conversation prior to this, me and Dan, and obviously a bit of Will then, were stating that Boris had to release, well, I say Boris had to release, but Sue Gray released a report whilst under police investigation, and it was pretty damning, to be fair, what was released. However, a lot of it was blanked off. I think there were 16 and 12 couldn't be released because still under police. But the four that was, wow, you know, it doesn't set great for him. I mean, do you think it's time for him to go, or do you think he will cling on for every single minute?
Thing is with me, mate, I'm completely biased here. So, I mean, if it was up to me, he'd have fucked off before he was born. Yeah. Never mind anything else. But looking at it from, say, an outside point of view, with if I was neither a fan nor the fact that I think he's a cunt, I reckon he will stay as long as possible and draw it out. And to stay in that position for as long as he possibly can, because that's what will benefit him.
Exactly.
But I mean, like you said, the report, we all knew what the report was gonna, what we all knew, like, what the report should have said. But yeah. it is that damning, isn't it? I mean, what's your opinion on you know what he will do or what he should do?
Well, the thing is about the Tory party is they love to backstab each other. They love it. They absolutely love it.
It's like a house of knives, isn't it? You know what I mean?
It is. It's Game of Thrones, essentially.
No, it is, yeah. So, oh, that's a very good way of putting it, actually, yeah. It really is.
That's the Tory party. So, 100%. As just a really, really weak current Labour, you know, platform, you know, they're all like, well, I want to be leader. I want to be leader. And so, currently, it's horrendous. I mean, he's a child's entertainer. You know, you look at the Eastern European crisis, everyone's in suits. You look at Macron, he looks $1 million. And you look at Boris, he just looks like a joke. We look like a joke. It was funny to start off with. I think we have to say thank you for the vaccination program. Thank you for everything you've done for us so far. But yeah, your time's done, mate. Yeah, essentially. You know, do you know what I mean? Yeah. cheers, but thanks. Here's your coat, mate. Off your pop. Yeah, that's what I think. He's gone through what he wanted to do. You know, it'll go down in history, but obviously.
Yeah, I mean, his name's not going to be forgotten for a long time. So if that was his ultimate goal, then
which I think it is.
I think so too. Genuinely, I don't think he had much more of a goal to be, you know, in that position other than the fact that I was the Prime Minister. Look at me. He essentially he's achieved it. It's like we said before, though, mate. You know, we've said, you know, yeah, he's a joke. He makes us look like a joke, but he's a smart fucker. And he's got to that position by being a smart, cunning bastard. And he'll leave that position being successful, having more money than he knows what to fucking do with. And his name will be remembered. And that's exactly what he fucking wanted in the first place. So, you know, who's won, really? You know,
he always wins. Exactly. He's in a story liar,
of course he does. Of course he does, mate. Of course he does.
And the fact that Labour is—you'll see it now. He's gave them a massive platform because they did really well keeping them quiet. However, when they needed his backing, they needed Labour's backing for a bill, didn't they, for COVID? And they give Keir Starmer a platform, and he's like, "Yeah, Boris is a joke, blah blah blah." And the worst thing you can do is give someone a platform. So now, you know, people are listening to him more. So, that's my opinion. You will be. right, so that's our first point. And then the next one is the cost of living. Now, the Bank of England, our governor for that, has stated, do not go to your boss and ask for a massive pay rise. It will not help our inflation rates. I mean, it's a bit tedious when you look at someone like that and you're thinking, well, you're not going to need a, you know, pay rise because you can afford it. However, the rest of us can't afford to live currently, mind alone with more money coming on.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm struggling now. I don't know how, it's a joke.
It don't bear thinking about, does it?
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. It really doesn't.
It's terrifying. And obviously, just for the viewers, listeners or whatever, me and Jay had a conversation about this last night. This is why we're doing this podcast now. And we had a bit of a chat about it, you know, what our views were, basically what we were going to say and what we actually both thought. And I can't remember which one of us made the point, but it was about the fact that it's a very real thing for the near future that you may have to choose between getting shopping and paying your fucking bills. I mean, and that terrifies me. It genuinely terrifies me. Jay, I know that you're similar to me in this respect that, you know, you don't like borrowing money off people. You don't like...
I hate
it. Yeah, so that the thought of that being a reality of, you know...
Everyday life.
Everyday life. That fucking terrifies me. I know we all have those months where it's like, oh, mate, can I just borrow 10? I'll get you back tomorrow. Or like, you know...
Or you lose your bank card. Or you have fraud on your account for 3 weeks.
Exactly. We all have that shit. But when it's something that you might have to go through every month, every week, like that terrifies me. I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean,
I think there'll be a lot of suicides and things.
Mate, it's going to... I mean, tensions in the country are already, you know, with everyday people are already fucking sky high. Imagine it, you know, in a couple of months' time, if it's projected how we think it's going to be. It's fucking terrifying, mate, honestly. Like,
The thing is, though, someone pointed out, is to me, sort of, who's been on the show before, he says, the government has come out and stated it is inevitable that prices will go up. You know, no matter what, you know, and it's not inevitable at all. The thing is, BP have just released the record profits, right? And the only people who are stating this is inevitable is the government, and that's because of us.
Yeah.
That's it. We just accept it instead of going, you know, instead of going, you know what? No, I'm not going to pay all this, you know, and doing a mini revolt. You know, that there shouldn't have to be a massive price increase, not to this magnitude. You know, it's just crazy. It's crazy. It doesn't need to happen, but it will, and we'll all accept it.
That's the thing, because we all just, I don't want to say people are weaker now than perhaps they were.
We are. We are weaker.
It,
you're
it
right.
feels like it. It feels like we rely on
we
things.
Just accept and we just accept it.
Sort of, yeah. And just roll over and sort of take it.
Yeah,
which,
we do.
When you think about it, I mean, because, you know, if a mass group of people just turn around and say, well, I'm not fucking paying it then, what the fuck are you going to do? You know?
Well, not even that. Just vote everyone out.
Yeah,
vote the
fuck
people
off,
out.
Yeah, no, you're spot on.
You know what?
You're spot on.
You know what? Yeah, just like, you know what? We'll vote for another party who will actually help us. You will do good.
The thing is,
you're telling me,
Jay, right? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It's just you literally nailed it then, right? You said something. You said, well, we'll vote for another party, right? And this is where politics starts to get fucking dangerous, because people think, you know what? The Tories, they're not working for me. Labour didn't work for me before. Who else have we got?
Well, that's
right?
our
and this is where
UKIP
BNP started. Like, you know, back then, UKIP fucking, you know, became a frontal fucking party, you know, because of things like this. And that's what scares me, you know. And obviously, you know, you think back in history, it's where it links actually nicely to when I said about history repeating itself. I know this is a massive extreme, but the Nazi regime in Germany started because there was a financial crisis. That is how the Nazis got into power, because there was inflation after, you know, the stock market crashed in Wall Street.
And also, we smashed them with sanctions.
Also, absolutely, after World War One. But the point is, it's a financial crisis that got the biggest and most evil regime in history, or whatever, in modern history, into power. Now, I know it's a massive extreme of what's going on here, but these financial crises, you know, they build up and people start to get fed up of the government that we've had.
Yeah.
And then they start to look at other options. That's why BNP got so popular in the 80s and 90s. Well, you know, in the 80s, for example. And it does scare me. I don't know enough about politics to not be scared about this. That's the best way I can put it. It does scare me.
Yeah, it does. I'm absolutely astonished that someone like the Liberal Democrats or someone like that has been, you know, took on board all of this. Because you're telling me that the government can't subsidise the cost of living when they're planning to do HS2 that's trillions of pounds.
Exactly.
I'd rather not have a train.
The thing is, No one asked for it.
No one. Our train system's already so behind the times. You know, look at Japan, you look at everyone. We're so behind, and we've got the infrastructure, so we can't just build a train.
No,
you know, we have to buy all the property that goes with
it. It makes no fucking sense. There must be, obviously, there must be reasons why that's happening that we don't know about. But fuck me, like, the country's in a mess. What we'll do is we'll build a fucking train.
I'll build a train.
It's like you're taking it, like, what a fucking,
and it's getting worse
idea.
And worse every single, it started going from the top of, basically, you know, the top of the north of England, and now it's gone to the Midlands, and now it's not even going into London, it's going to the outskirts of London, and you're thinking, oh, what's the point of it then? It's just another drain.
It makes
no
sense.
The rest.
It makes no sense to me at all. I don't know what the, like I said, I've not researched this. I don't know what the sort of like behind the scenes aim and goals and who's making money out of it. But fuck me,
we ain't making fuck all out of it. Yeah, it's just essentially to, you know, link the UK all together. You know, well,
it's,
you know, the rest,
like,
of England.
It just sounds
it's just a terrible idea. Well,
no, absolutely.
In theory, it's a good idea, but it just doesn't work.
But it definitely doesn't work in, you know, the state the country's in. No one fucking, we don't need that.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You can have that when you sort the rest of the fucker out. It's stupid, isn't it?
So behind. It just won't. Thing is, we'll buy all the properties and everything, blah, blah, blah. And then what will happen is we'll run out of money and it'll just be there.
Yeah.
And we've got all these government. Yeah. And that's all that will happen. It's just the worst time to build one, and we're building it. It's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Well, that's what kind of system we're in. And
just a bit.
The thing is, we're talking about Russia and everything, who we're going to go on to in 1 second. who's essentially, we've kicked out the G8. So, you know, so we can't even ask them for help. We've already sanctioned them for doing the Crimea, and they've got all the gas. And it's our fault for not doing green energy before. If we did green energy before, we wouldn't even need them. But everyone's going, nah, it'll never work. You know, we'll just keep leech off the Russians.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
And why would they give us any discount? If we didn't chuck them out the G8, essentially, we might have had a chance, but... Or they're going to charge us so much money that it's going to be ridiculous.
And it's Britain's fault, because all we've done really over the past, I don't know, 50 odd years is distance ourselves from Russia
and everyone else, not just Russia.
But obviously Russia's relevant to this. We just piss people off, not majorly like America. We just piss them off enough for them to say, well, fuck you then, I've got nothing to do with you. You know, I mean, look at Europe. Yeah, okay, we're the ones who left the EU, but I'd really doubt many countries in Europe were saying, oh, we're really sad to see Britain go. They couldn't give a fuck. Like,
we demand everything.
And give nothing back, mate. You know, as a country, you know, whatever you want to... You can see why that Russia's sort of like, well... I'll charge you a shitload for your fucking electricity, power, etc. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Nothing to help us, so we're coming for you.
Yeah, you're America. All you've done is be America's puppet for the last 50 years. Yeah. So we don't like America. So you know, we're association. We don't fucking like you either. We've really dug our own grave with it. And it's not like we didn't have the opportunity for green energy at all. Of course we did, for years.
Yeah.
You know, we just like you literally said it. We didn't think it would work, so we didn't do it. Because we're stuck in the fucking past.
We always have been, mate. Yep. We did. As soon as them coal mines went, we should have started looking for opportunities then.
Definitely.
Just opportunities.
Absolutely.
Thinking, you know what, we won't do this, we'll do it or something like that. Go, nuclear power, that'd be a thing. And you go, that's just not sustainable. It's, but here we are, aren't we? Here we are.
Reap
what we sow. Insulation for houses that were free at one point just stopped being done. You know, that could have saved so much money for people. But the cost of living, food's going up, prices going up. Hopefully, we all see a massive pay rise. I doubt it. I doubt it.
I can't see it either, mate.
Since people are getting 0-hour contracts more and more and more. So, you know, it's just heartbreaking. I do honestly believe there will be a riot at some point, because that's like you said earlier, when people get mad, they get mad.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the only way I can see this going, can't you?
Absolutely right, spot on.
So, in regarding of that, the people who have got the keys for the mansion, which is Russia, we're just about to go now into that. So... history repeating itself. Let's have a bit of...
Sorry.
You're right there, mate. That's twice now. We're going to have to cut you...
You're going to have to just talk on your own, mate, I think.
Yep. Could have coughed away from the mic, but said, nah, I'm going to right down the middle.
Look, if I'm suffering, you're all having it.
Exactly. So Russia have been notorious since World War II, you know, when we... all got obviously in the Austro-Hungarian with the First World War, and then we joined alliances essentially in the second to do it. And then the Cold War, obviously after that, and the aggression pact essentially was after we've had all these wars, then we get NATO, and with NATO becomes the missile defense system. So it's all around Europe, and Russia's point being is, right, you said we're doing non-aggression pact. What we've done, however, it's funny enough, you've got this whole missile system all pointed at us. You know, not just us. So, we see that as a high act of aggression, and we want them to, you know, essentially stop it. And also, the Soviet Union, you know, had puppet states, essentially. So there's a blockade. You know, think of it like that. So you've got buffer zones from the rest of that horrible Western Europe. Okay. So if you're Ukrainian and you're gay, for argument's sake, and you go back to Russia as a state, would you want to do that? No, because you'll probably get killed by the government for being gay. You know, just little
not,
things
they're
like
not
that.
Big
the freedom
fans of that. As
no.
Such.
So the most, I know quite a few Ukrainians randomly, and it seems to me, anyway, that Ukrainians are very westernized. You know, they're very, you know, they're like democracy, blah blah blah. However, if you remember, they had some riots recently, you know, about 10 years ago. Can you remember?
Yeah, they certainly did. There was a massive revolution in Ukraine in 2014, where essentially the Ukrainian people literally overthrew their government, which is
why
badass,
did they do that?
By the way. Actually, it's quite prevalent to now, isn't it? You know, they didn't like what was going on. And instead of take it, like we're saying, you know, well, we'll just lean back and we accept what's going on. They did not. And they essentially took over the city of Kiev and made a stand against the government. And it was, to be honest, there's a really good Netflix documentary. If anyone's interested in this, I'd heavily recommend you watch it. It's called Winter on Fire. And it's really, really interesting. Like, there was a siege of Kiev, and it all erupted. There was a lot of violence. There was actually deaths of civilians.
I remember this.
Yeah, but it fucking worked. And they literally overthrew their government because they didn't like the oppression, what for one thing, of the government, and basically the way their country has been ran.
Yeah. I don't think they liked being so close to Russia. I think that was one of the main reasons as well, because the president at the time was very, you know, heavily Russian influenced, and they was like, yeah, we want to be independent ones.
No, you're spot on. Ukraine's always been, from my understanding, so I don't want to offend anyone maybe who is from Ukraine, who doesn't agree with me here, but as a whole, Ukraine has always been a very nationalistic, proud country of its own independence. Literally going back, I don't know how far back, but I know in World War II, for example, they were, and they wanted to distance themselves from Russia.
It was part of the essentially Soviet Union, wasn't they?
They got a chance to come away from that. That's exactly what they wanted to do, and you can't blame a country for that. I don't think at all. You know, they're a country in their own right.
It just makes me wonder because I see how massive Russia is. Right. And I just think if you're that heavily wanting to go back to Russia as a civilian, just go to Russia. You don't have to be from Ukraine.
No,
you know,
it's fucking huge, mate. Let's be honest. I
don't get it. But I understand as well that NATO, it's very hard for them because Ukraine do want to join NATO. And the problem is that if that happens, it will be all hell. Because Russia got told, apparently, that there will never be a NATO beside its doorstep. And that is literally on its doorstep. That means we can move missiles, anything that we want, and just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially sort of like you said before, the blockade or the Iron Curtain, as everyone used to call it. That's essentially like Russia saying, I will not have a NATO state, you know, on our borders. And Ukraine is very much on the border of Russia, hence why it was always seen as part of Russia for so long, obviously the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
They will not, Putin, he will not take
won't
that
tolerate
lightly.
That.
Oh,
no.
Absolutely not. Before NATO troops even set foot in there, there'd be a fucking row. And he's a scary bloke. To be honest, he's a scary man.
I don't think, he is a bit scary, isn't he? I don't think that we'd even set foot in there. I think he's even doing this to see how far he can push us.
Test the waters,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we're not going to do anything. No one's going to do anything.
And he knows that. Definitely.
Yeah. So if he went into Ukraine, we won't go in. We should, but we won't.
Gosh, no. No.
You know?
There's your World War III right there, isn't it?
Yeah, because that's why it's been calling up to China so much as well. Putin, very smart. You know what? We can take all these now, you know? We can.
Yeah.
We
very, very clever man again, though, isn't he? There's a pattern emerging here of evil, clever men. But not saying that Putin's evil, in case he's listening. He's a very, very smart and powerful man. His Russian might terrifies me of what that country could do if they wanted to.
yeah, we're going to say we'll sanction them. And you're thinking, well, if you have a look at what they own half of London on Piccadilly Square and stuff, because they've always been expecting sanctions and things. They've already got gold and cash and things. They don't just rely on assets.
Of course not.
Because of things like this. It's crazy. So when we're like, oh, we'll sanction them, they don't care. They've already got a massive gold reserve.
Exactly. I think us sanctioning Russia for something is basically like
thing.
Charging that fucking cunt 20 odd grand or whatever it was when he kicked the cat. That's how much. He couldn't give two fucks about that 20 odd grand. That's exactly the same as us saying to Russia, we're going to sanction you because we don't agree with your policies. That's what it is. It's such a British shitty thing. We'll write you a letter. You know, that's what it is, isn't it? He couldn't give a shit, mate.
Shall we give an examples now of how many times Russia have gone into countries since the Cold War?
Yeah, so I did a bit of research on this. Nothing too intense, but so there's been two major times since the Cold War, actually sort of during the Cold War it starts off as, where Russia have decided to invade. Or, you know,
divide, invade, occupy the country.
Occupy the country with Russian troops. So the first one that I looked at was in Afghanistan, because, of course, well, we all know that if Afghanistan has always been a bit sort of hectic in the War Department, either we've been there, America's been there, you name a country, they probably set foot in Afghanistan with troops. Russia did it in 1979. They actually had a peace pact with Afghanistan that they signed in 1978. And a year later, they decided, you know what, we're going to break that. And they went in there. So they, Afghanistan is a very, very resourceful, rich country. There you go. And it's all about money, mate.
Is that why?
So there's oil there. There's.
Did they have a disagreement regarding the oil, or, you know?
No, Russia wanted it.
Yeah,
there wasn't much of a disagreement at first. So, yeah, they go into Afghanistan, and they do meet, of course, quite heavy resistance from the Afghanistan population, simply because the Afghan rebels were given arms by
us,
USA, and us. Because of
that
Russia
can't
invading,
come
right?
to back and buy us. I'm
surely,
sure it won't.
Surely not, right? So, at first, you know, there's fighting, but Russia dominate, of course, because they're the ones, they're the aggressors at the end of the day. There's fighting for about 10 years, and then in 1987, the Americans introduce shoulder launched anti aircraft missiles to Afghan rebels, and then essentially they just shot down. They shot down all the Russian planes, and that kind of ruined Russia's sort of stay.
Strategy.
And then Soviet forces left Afghanistan around 88, 89. So it started off very much successful for Russia, and then the Americans intervened by giving Afghan rebels heavy weapons, which took out all the Russian aircraft, essentially. Now, I did research this, and there's a few different opinions on whether we knew that they were funded by America or not at the time. But I'm guessing it was very sort of secretive, to be fair. But there you go. There's your Cold War influence, of course. Anything that Russia do, the US will essentially fight against. And of course, that's where the forces like the Taliban are. The Taliban were all trained by Americans. They were all American trained, American weapons. And then, of course, but like you said, never bite him in the arse. But that's essentially it. But the most interesting one is Chechnya. So for those who don't know, Chechnya is... So when we were talking about the blockade of little countries around Russia, Chechnya is essentially one of those, but it's actually in Russian territory. So it's its own country, but it is within the Russian landmass. So... unlike you sort of Georgia, for example, being a separate country, Ukraine being a separate, you know, landmass, Chechnya is a more of a republic inside of Russia, but it is a republic state in its own right. So with the dissolution of communism in 1991, so that's when the Soviet Union fell, all these smaller countries become independent states, and Russia, of course, is its own state. That also went for Chechnya. So Chechnya became its own country in its own right, but because it was inside Russian soil, that did not sit well with the Russians themselves. So you've got the Russian president at the time, if you bear with me on pronunciation, I believe his name is Boris Yeltsin.
Close
enough, right? I'll take that. He was very patriotic, and he did not like that. Although he had to sign for communism to be dissolved, he did not like the idea of Chechnya being a separate state. When it's on Russian soil. So Chechnya had been under Russian rule since 1850. So we're now in 1991, and they just didn't like it. Chechnya, again, by the way, has a lot of oil. It is very oil rich. So anyway, cut a little bit along. 1994, Russia invades. By 1995, they've taken the capital.
Really?
There's brutal fighting, and I'm talking civilian deaths as well. Very controversial at the time. You know, there was accusations of war crimes, that sort of thing. But by 1996, Grozny's taken back. Grozny being the capital, sorry. So Chechen rebels take back Grozny, which is great for them. And by 1997, there's a ceasefire, and Russian troops leave Chechnya, defeated by the Chechen rebels. But it doesn't last. Well, it doesn't last. No, in 1999, Russia decides to invade again. And this is where we suddenly meet our man of the hour, Vladimir Putin, who is now president of Russia.
Right.
And in 2000, his quote is, "We will rub them out, even in the toilet." Now, I know it sounds strange.
Did I get?
So he says, "We will rub them out, even in the toilet." What he's getting at is, he doesn't care whether they're military, he doesn't care who it is, he is going to get rid of anyone who's not, anyone who's an enemy of the state to Russia, i.e. anyone who opposes, is fucking getting it. And that's exactly what they did. If you look up sort of Russian atrocities in Chechnya, it is horrifying.
Absolutely horrifying.
They didn't, hellbent's the best way you can put it, mate. They went to town. And fighting lasted all the way up until 2009. That was the official end of it. But, I mean, I say official in, quotations, because I don't think that was the end. I think it is still really volatile there, even to this day, mate. And then, of course, it's just worth mentioning as well the province of Dagestan, which they also sent troops in. It's very similar to Chechnya, just smaller.
Isn't that where Khabib is from? Yes.
Khabib Nurmagomedov, yeah. That's... So when they speak of the proud nation of Dagestan, again, that's like a republic within Russia. Please, if I've got that wrong and it's not a republic, I don't know whether republic or state, it's one of those provinces within Russian territory. And again, they did very similar sort of military operation there. Only lasted a month because it's only tiny. Very similar sort of style. So what we're getting at is, guys, that when Russia say they want to take a country over with their military might, even if it's not successful in the long run, they still go ahead and do it. So you could say that, so they ended up getting kicked out of Afghanistan. They're still there for over 10 years. Same with Chechnya. They don't at all. And I think it all stems back to World War II. At the end of the day, because
it does,
it's all, the fall of communism was, in my eyes at the time, a great thing. But there are many, many Russian people who don't thrive without the communism. The communism was something that they were used to for so long, and I think it was difficult for Russia as a country to adapt to, because essentially, it's westernized. The approach that isn't communist is sort of like it was alien to them. This is how our country's been run. This is how Russia's been for so long. So the scary thing is, and we've said it a few times, is that history has a habit of repeating itself, and that's what's scary about the fact that now Russia are moving troops right next door, there are now Russian troops in Belarus doing what they call military drills. Belarus is right next to Ukraine. It borders Ukraine. And you can literally hear the massive cannons being fired from you know, if you're in Kiev, which is the capital of Ukraine, because they're doing these military drills.
That's not a military drill, mate. That's practicing for invasion. Everyone knows that.
But that's how they mask it, right? But the scary thing is, they're sat on that border right now.
They could invade any second.
Russia's such a huge military power, even compared to what it used to be. Obviously, Russia used to be even bigger. You know, you think about the Soviet Union was literally like, I don't know, half of the world or whatever, right? So the military might they had back then, yes, okay, they don't have that military might now, but in comparison to what everyone else has in the world, they are aeons ahead of, you know, you can't even describe how much military might Russia actually has. It's genuinely terrifying. So the fact that they're on that border now with troops is pretty scary, to be honest. Yeah, and if you're not worried about it, it's something you should be worried about it. Yeah. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news or, you know, getting people riled up for no reason. But trust me, this is a lot scarier than what the media are making it out to be. Trust me on that.
Wasn't there something in Georgia as well?
Yeah, so Georgia again. They're another one of the border states. Russia and Georgia they really don't like each other at all. There's a trend in that all these they used to call it, obviously, like, you know, the either the Eastern Bloc or the Iron Curtain. All these they're all the smaller countries that are either part of Yugoslavia or borderline in Russia, obviously you can't speak for everyone in a country, but, you know, the main consensus is that we don't want to be part of Russia, we want our own independence. And simply speaking, anyone who was
out of line, would you say?
Absolutely.
Gets invaded. Or just a nice reminder.
That's a good way of putting it, a nice reminder. And the thing is, these smaller countries, you know, they haven't got anything to compete with that might, have they?
You can't. No, it's not even close. And we won't go in, because if we go in, that starts World War III. Easy. So
100%.
That's why we go, well, we'll sanction you. And Russia are so clever, because they won't start firing. Because if they know they start firing, then they know we may have to go in. So they just, you know,
That's exactly what it is, isn't it? Dick measuring contest. But I hate to say it for the Western powers, if they go to Ukraine,
we might have to do something at some point. That's the issue. So,
the thing is, I can't even, I don't know about you, Jane, and I'll ask you in a sec, mate, but I can't even voice an opinion on what we should do. And that's the scary part, right? Because, I mean, morally, we should be, you know, you'd think, well, Ukraine don't deserve to be, you know, invaded by Russia, so we should help them out. But fucking think of the backlash that fucker would cause.
Well, the thing is...
This is the thing.
Let's say the worst case scenario happens, right? We said to Ukraine, and the rest of us did, if anything happens, you've got your back. We literally said that, okay? So if we renege on that, which we will, by the way, I'll just point out, we will go, well, you know, sods about that, forgot about it. Yeah. However, it's not about a moral thing. If we don't go in, that's the thing, and I'm on about a very high, I don't think it will happen, by the way, right? I don't really do not think they will invade. But if they did, hypothetical situation, if we leave it, right? If we just leave it, for instance, okay, then what happens?
They'll keep fucking going.
Let's just say they just stay at Ukraine and they stop there, right? All the people that they're oppressing or whatever, I mean, it depends, doesn't it? They can flee, they can stay, but essentially you're allowing that to happen, and it only takes someone like China to go, well, they've done it, why can't we?
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, you see that in Hong Kong already, you know, with the umbrella protest and China. It's supposed to be two countries, one state, and everything. That was, you know, a horrendous protest march. You know, it was so sad to see all that. But if we let this happen, then you're setting an example for the world of saying, you know, well, it's free, anyone can do anything, because they won't come for you. You know, that's why it's a hard one. Now, however, what do I think should happen? I think that we should literally hold off when negotiating, and it's a lot harder to negotiate with people who aren't in the circle. We need to allow them to come back, right? We need them to get back in the G8 instead of the G7. We need, 100%. Whilst everybody laughs at Trump, right, and saying what an idiot he was, he brought people like North Korea and Russia back to that table. So we're discussing them instead of them, you know,
I can't say I'm a massive fan of Trump, but he got people talking again, at least. You know, like,
do you know,
like you said,
if that was Hillary, that meeting would never have happened.
Oh,
ever,
absolutely.
Ever.
Absolutely.
Never. And if it did happen, it would have took 10 years.
No,
he just went, we'll do it now.
No, you're spot on, mate. Honestly, like, you know, like I said, I'm not about to say that I'm a fan of Donald Trump, because I can't say that I am, I don't think. But on that front, he did, he said he wanted it to happen, and it, well, what happened? It fucking happened, didn't it? At least they sat and talked.
Yeah.
Which I can't see that happening anytime soon now.
We've let so many atrocities go under the radar. I mean, you only have to look, and I'm not being anti-Semitic, but you only have to look at the aggressive tactics of Israel with Palestine. You only have to look
100%.
You only have to look at Zimbabwe, you know. And that, but like you said prior, if you haven't got any oil, we seem to forget about Afghanistan and, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we just, and if you have got quite a lot of military power, I mean, look at Iran. Iran's got a lot of military power, right? They've got enough. They won't be a pushover. I mean, we'll probably still do them, but, you know, the thing is that we seem to pick on smaller countries, and you can essentially, and I don't know when we will learn this, but how long was we in Afghanistan for? 10, 15, whenever it was? Yeah, and essentially, as soon as we left, the day that we left, less than a week later, it's like nothing happened.
Yeah, of course. It doesn't help.
Women now can't go back to school, essentially. You know, they'll know. They thought they had a free life. This is what's going to happen.
See, this is the thing. We go into these countries and we just think, well, our way of life is right.
Yeah,
our way
exactly.
of life is right. You know, Western civilization works better for everyone. In my opinion, it does, right? So, for example, I believe that women should have the same rights as men, right? But in their culture, that doesn't fucking exist. So you're trying to change something that's been this way for thousands and thousands of years. That country's ticked over in the way that it does things. All of a sudden, you're trying to change the way things happen. If you leave, they're going to revert back to the same old way. Of course they are.
You know, they love
because
that
that's
it.
How that's been for so long. So, you know, it's a case of, who the fuck are you to tell me how to butter my bread? Fuck off.
And then when you do
fuck off, they'll butter the bread on the opposite side. Do you know what I'm getting at, mate? It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it's been the same since the dawn of fucking time. You know, why are Russia, you know, wanting to, looking at Ukraine? Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union. Ukraine is also a very vastly rich country. It also has a port, of which is very appealing to Russia.
Yep, so very geography sound, you know, as well.
And so it makes sense for Ukraine to be a piece of, you know, a piece of Europe that is very attractive to Russia, because it was part of Russia beforehand, well, part of the Soviet Union beforehand.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like they're doing it just because, oh, well, that's Ukraine, we'll attack them. It's going back so far back that, you know, it makes
Can
a lot of sense.
Can you remember that there was, the Salisbury poisoning, for instance, when Russia was going out and they was attacking people? They're doing it blatantly, by the way, really blatantly. And they were saying, no, we're not in Ukraine. And the two people who did it, who Putin says had no idea who they are, it was caught, photographed as the special forces in Ukraine. You know, so not only was they saying he didn't know them, he was saying, no, we're not in Ukraine. They're currently already in Ukraine, Russia. They're just doing it as they can't have massive, you know,
under the carpet, if you will.
The rebels are highly, highly trained. How do you think they get there? If me and you were doing it and you're thinking, how have they got all their weapons? Guess how? They're being supported financially, training, weapons, you know. And if you don't have to actually do it, you know, but they've already got troops there. They're already doing all this, you know, already. They just haven't got 100,000 troops. So
no.
My answer anyway of what would I do, I would try to de-escalate the situation. I wouldn't have Boris there, the man's an idiot. I would let someone, I would let somebody in charge of negotiations, like Macron seems to be doing a fantastic, amazing job. I would let him do it. You know, I really would. He did. They asked him to take a test, a COVID test, when he went over there to discuss the negotiations. He said no, because you're not having my DNA. You know, so they had to sit on a long table. I just thought that's very strong.
I've got some balls. You know,
and
a lot of this, you know, you look at history, a lot of it has to be that. You know, you can't just let someone, you know, do what they want or kind of take the piss out of you, because it doesn't work.
They smell fear. They smell it.
Appeasing Hitler didn't work. Appeasing Hitler just let Hitler do what he wanted until he got to Poland, and then we had to go in because we had a pact with Poland, right? That's, you know, we let Nazis take over country after country after country until they got to Poland because we appeased Hitler and let Hitler do what he wanted because he was a bit scary. You know, it doesn't work. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, show a bit of fucking pride, you know, a bit of something about you. You know,
I don't think we're going to Ukraine. Yeah, we can't. I'd say the more I think about it, if we're going to Ukraine, essentially, that will be so... I mean, Putin's already been to China. If China and Russia gang up on the rest of us, we are in a lot of trouble.
That's nightmare fuel, isn't it?
The only way I can think of to resolve this situation is do what Finland did, where they're not a part of NATO, but they can if they want. You know, they're just purely neutral, and that is the only way. While Ukraine want to join, however, if you're having a border dispute, NATO state, because NATO's got an open door policy. If you want to join, you can. And Ukraine says, I want to join. And Russia, and this is where apparently we're getting this.
Are you taking this?
Yeah, exactly. We're having all Americans and everyone at our doorstep. That hasn't gone well, you know, in quite a number of instances. So they've got legitimate cause, and, you know, and they said, well, join, you know, the Cold War and everything. You said that you wouldn't come, you know, in X miles. And we broke it. We broke a number of treaties that Russia said, so they have got rights to be sceptical. However, doing, you know, the issue is, I don't think that they will go in. I really do think it's them just flexing as much as they can and getting what they want. We'll probably get rid of the missile defense system in Europe to appease them. And also... Ukraine won't join NATO. That's what I think, and then that would be a victory.
I don't think that Ukraine will join NATO. I don't think that will happen. I think you're right there, and I think obviously I'm going to back up against my own point now. I've just said appeasement doesn't work. I think appeasement is the only way, but it can only be to a certain extent. And like you said, I've got a funny feeling that the missiles will dissolve somehow.
Yeah,
I think Russia will get what they want out of that, because at the end of the day, let's be quite frank. If we start something with you know, Russia, it's not, that isn't something that we're going to come out of very healthy.
No,
and I think
Russia
knows that, and we know that because our country's really broken and we can't afford fuck all.
No,
so, we're not in a state to be helping other countries out because our country's fucked already.
Yeah, and we've seen what happens there. I mean, thank goodness we didn't go into Syria, because, you know, if we just let Russia do it, right, whilst none of us want to do it, however, the Syrian government would have been back in power now and the fighting would have stopped. However, we tried to help the rebels, okay, so we helped the rebels. And now Turkey is clashing the Kurds as obviously terrorists. So, and then America was protecting the Kurds and they backed out. So then Turkey just smashed all the Kurds. So now, you know, they feel like they've been backstabbed. And then you've got Turkey and Russia fighting each other, you know, and you're thinking, we need to stay away from these multiple. Whilst we can't see an act of war go by, but we pick and choose your fights.
Yes.
You know,
because I think personally, and again, I am definitely, most definitely underqualified to be even sent an opinion on this, right? But I personally think, like, what good would it do for us to intervene in any of that, really? I think whatever we would do if we did intervene is going to fuck someone else over. Do you know what I mean? So it isn't going to help,
right.
I don't think.
You're right.
And like I said, if I am completely wrong, please, please, please forgive me, but I just can't see it helping anyone anyway. At least of all us as a country.
We've got a Prime Minister who went over to Iran when he was Foreign Secretary to help a woman get out who got accused of being a spy, and she got an extra 10 years. And she's still there now, I believe.
She's got an extra couple of years.
Yeah, because she apparently she broke up probation or something, so they slapped him for 3-4 years.
He just went over and pissed them off further. I don't want him going talking to Putin. Imagine
can you
that.
Imagine? Oh, I can imagine it. That's why I'm so scared. Shut up. Why are you bobbling for? What are you doing?
He'll accidentally call him Georgian or something, and there will be World War III.
Sausages. What are you talking about? You know,
so he's not the kind of person that you send over. Putin's ex-KGB. You know, he's a scary bloke. And Boris is not the man to send.
It'll be making him do tricks. It'll be making him sick. Give me a paw at the end. We need someone strong and firm, however, knows when to back down.
Yeah, who knows when not to start World War III? Yeah, spot
exactly.
On. Does that person exist? I'm not so sure, but all I know is that Boris is not the one to do that. He's certainly not the man. He's just gonna piss him off.
It'd either be Jeremy Hunt or Michael Gove, someone with a bit of, you know, panache, not just whatever. It's just a bit of a joke. You had Dominic Raab, who was kind of the Foreign Secretary last time. He was in holiday when Afghanistan happened. Instead of calling him back, he went, I was getting our updates, you know.
No, on his phone, like we would on the news.
That's what,
Sky Sports.
Yeah,
no
he
way.
Was in, okay. So, Afghanistan. Unreal. Afghanistan's foreign minister was phoning up going, yeah, I need to talk to your foreign secretary now. We're getting invaded by the Taliban. And in reply, they got a junior minister to talk to him. And he's like, no, I don't want a junior minister. I want the foreign secretary. I need to speak to Dom. Yeah, well, he can't. He's on holiday at the moment.
You can just imagine him doing like a conference call in a sports bar somewhere with with a few tequilas.
Mojitos and that. Oh,
like, sorry guys, can you turn that match down? I just need the phone call over here with the Jesus. Yeah. Honestly,
but he won't even talk to them. He got his junior ministers to do it, and they're just levels of disrespect. And thinking that Boris should have picked up the phone and said, "If you're not here in the next 2 hours back in the UK, I'm getting a private jet to come in. Don't bother coming back, mate." You know.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, but they won't because, you know, him and Boris probably went to school together and played Dungeons and Dragons and fucking washed each other off.
Essentially, he got him to drop out of the leadership debate, Dominic Raab and Matt Hancock, so he could become PM quicker. So now they've got top jobs and class themselves as heavyweights now.
There you go.
So they're loyal. They're loyal, undisputed. Why he lets people get away with essentially murder. So, the way out of this, anyway, to wrap this up, guys.
Ooh, what is the way out, Jay? What do you reckon?
Well, potentially.
Please ring Boris up and tell him.
The thing is, I would keep the pack aggressors out of it. So whoever's kind of insulted Russia in the past, so you keep America out of it, keep us out of it. And let the French and Germans deal with it currently. I say, you know, the Greshers, you know, they're German.
In recent history, let's just say post-World War II.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're the least aggressive people. So I would have them leading negotiations because as long as Putin gets a win, he will back down. I think he's overplayed his card. He knows he has. And now he needs to do something. He can't just see the problem is with kind of Russia. You can't just go back and go, you know what, you guys are right. He has to have something now to say he's won.
Yeah.
What would you do?
I like what you've said, essentially, because you are right in the fact that Russia can't just won't just back down now, because then Putin is seen as weak, which he can't be seen as weak because, well, yep, it's fucking Vladimir Putin, for crying out loud.
Exactly.
So he has to have won something. But if it's dealt with in the right way by the right people, I'm not even going to pretend to know who they are. If it is dealt with by the right people, then they'll give him the win, but it won't be a win that results in, let's say, millions and millions of death. You know what I mean? So I think right now, genuinely, it's at the point of damage limitation. And if we can, not we as in Britain, I mean, if someone can let him have his win, but it's not taking too much and it isn't hurting too many people, then fucking let
it go. Yeah,
I'm not even going to pretend I know how to go about that. But what I do know is that we are not the fucking people to do it at all. And America, certainly fucking not. Because if he doesn't like Britain, I can tell you now, they hate America a hell of a lot fucking more.
Yeah.
So like you said, mate, I genuinely say let's stay out of it and maybe let other people handle it, because they're probably better at handling than we are. I agree with you.
Sit back and assess.
Essentially. Yeah.
Sit back and assess. They say.
Sit back and assess. Shit ourselves until it's fixed, but stay the fuck out of it, because I don't think I just don't think we'll help.
Exactly.
So I know it's easier said than done, but I certainly agree with you in that we're not equipped to deal with it. I think it should be others, and we can just basically keep our meddling fingers out of it.
Mm-hmm. Currently,
to be honest, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, definitely. And it's but it is scary, and it's definitely something that's worth talking about, like we have, and that's why we wanted to talk about it tonight, because I know it gets media coverage, but I don't think it's serious enough, because you should be fucking scared of what's going on. This is potentially like, you know, the early start of something that could be war, and no one wants that, really.
Well, you see, he's withdrawing the troops today, and yet there has been none at all. There's been no withdrawal. So, you know, we'll see. They're renowned for coming back on the words, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll give you an update this time next week at current
events.
You know, guys, if you want us to cover topics that you love or know, let myself or, you know, Murder Man Dan know. You know, just stay in the comments.
We'll cover anything. We'll give it a go.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
We'll give anything a go. Mm-hmm. Nothing's off the table. You know, as weird and wonderful as you want it, I'll happily cover anything. So,
exactly.
That's opening us up to a world of shit now. But please, 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 leave a comment. You know, if you want us to cover something, we'll give it a go. And obviously, guys, as you well know, most importantly, please, 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 just hit that subscription button on YouTube or whatever platform you're on. It's free and it takes you literally a second to make a click. And we really, really appreciate it, guys. Honestly, the more subscriptions we get, as Jay will tell you, the more content we can produce. And we just enjoy doing it. So, you know, whatever platform you're on, just please like and subscribe. And yeah, like I said, chat to us. Put a comment.
Exactly.
You know what you think. If you disagree with things we've said, by all means comment. And if there's something that you want us to cover, comment that too, and that'd be great.
Exactly.
And we really appreciate you for listening.
We do. All right, from myself, take care, guys.
And from me, take care. Oh, sorry.
Just before we go, guys, we do need a name for this show. So if you've got any comments, message. Let us know.
Yeah, because I can't think of anything that isn't cheesy or rubbish. No. So yeah, please, please, please. Let us know.
Take care.
Take care, guys.